Scripture this morning is Psalm 119, verses 92 through 93. Unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life.
Be here this morning. I want to thank you for that so much. Well, unfortunately, the Oklahoma City Thunder's season is now at an end. So now I guess the sports talk everywhere around here is, how about them Cowboys? 17-0, baby, Super Bowl, here we come, right? Yeah, okay. The reason I say that, you know, it's amazing whether we're talking about the start of a new sports season, a new relationship, a new marriage, a new baby, or a new baby in Christ, you know, it always starts out bursting with promise and bursting with hope and the highest of expectations when it starts. But as we all know, some of us with white or graying hair maybe know a little bit better. As life happens and as the new unfolds and evolves into its next stages and changes, doesn't always happen the way we hope it will, does it? Life, whether it is a person's physical life, their spiritual life, their relational life, or even their recreational life, is an always evolving, ever-changing, transitioning, transforming, and sometimes unraveling over time type of thing. You know, everybody gets all wound up about the new year and the new year and happy new year and yeah, and what? And what is it, 3 days later and we got another month and year with all its problems and issues and yeah. It's the same with a sports team. You know, the newness of hope in a sports team or season, especially if you're a Cowboys fan, oftenly devolves into something far, far less. And on a far more tragic note, not every beautiful new baby turns out to have that problem-free life that we wish they would. And likewise, not every high-flying new convert will avoid being brought back to earth by the troubles and the trials and the temptations that life and time will inevitably bring about, as we know all too well. Stages of life. Phases, transitions, transformations, call them what you will. Peaks turn to valleys. Promise turns to problems. Soaring to sinking. And then what? And I'm not talking about a sports team anymore. That was just an introduction. But what next? What do you do when the bottom falls out of life? This morning, I want to take a closer look at that same cycle in what I've chosen to call a sermon entitled Christianity in 3D, a Christian's life experience. We're going to break it down into three different stages as we talk about Christianity in 3D. What does that mean? I've got three D's for you. I've got three D's for you this morning. The first one, that stage, is the declaration stage. That is our first D this morning. The declaration stage. This is that spring-summer stage. This is that power, promise, and victory stage. This is that time when You know, you understand the truth that you need to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you come up out of the water and you're born again and your sins are forgiven and you're ready to just charge out there and just take on the world. Bulldoze Satan. You've got your Acts 2:38 in your hands. You're ready to go, man. It's that time when you're so full of hope and promise and power, and we can see this in the stages of many Bible characters, what we call that declaration stage. It is this young, defiant, fully and completely confident David that we see in 1 Samuel 17. That's a good illustration of this declaration stage. David crying out as he goes out to take on Goliath. He says, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." That's verses 26 and verses 37. Then we go on, and if we could read there, starting at verse 41, it says, "So the Philistine came," 1 Samuel 17:41. "So the Philistine came, began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. When the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking." Here you've got this guy that somewhere around 9 feet tall, and he's taking on a kid. And he's thinking, he disdains David, and he says, "Well, what are they sending out against me here?" And we know that Goliath has been a warrior from his youth, and we know about his size, and we know about his strength, and how he towered over David, and we understand all of that. And so he disdains David, and the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Verse 44, "And the Philistine said to David, 'Come to me, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field.'" I'm going to whoop you so bad, I'm going to kill you. You're nothing to me. Oh, yeah? This is David's declaration stage. David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I'll strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." What an incredible declaration. And then, I mean, David wasn't joking. Look at verse 48. David runs out to meet him. David's anxious to take him on and finish this. And David said, "I'm not only going to give your head, I'm not only going to take your head, but the armies of the Philistines, we're going to take them too." Can you imagine being a kid, a teenager, and saying that to somebody that's, 9 foot tall, who's out to kill you? That's power and that's victory, and it's just so wonderful. And that first D, or declaration stage, can also be seen in the life of John the Baptist. You know, John the Baptist declared that Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God, the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. John chapter 1, verses 29 through 36. But that's not all he did. This declaration stage, this power and this victory and this beginning stage, we'd see in Matthew chapter 3. Please turn there with me. Matthew chapter 3. Please turn there. Verse 5. Here he is. He's out here baptizing. Matthew 3, starting at verse 5. And these Pharisees and Sadducees are coming to him. Now, keep in mind, these Pharisees and these Sadducees have tried to convince the people that they're the religious leadership and they know everything and you got to follow them, and these are men that are full of pride and everything else. And here's John the Baptist. You want to talk about a declaration? You want to talk about an in-your-face? You want to talk about operating and just feeling the victory of the power of God? Matthew chapter 3, beginning at verse 5. Right in front of all these people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees had tried to convince that they were the upper echelon. Verse 5. "Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins," that is John the Baptist. "But when he," that is John, "saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, 'Brood of vipers?'" What does that mean? "You nest of snakes?" How many of you like snakes? Exactly. "You nest of snakes? Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I say to you, God's able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. He said, you nest of snakes, who warned you to come out here and partake of this goodness from God? You need to start living right. And he just did that power and that victory. One man, that's the declaration stage. The declaration stage is seen in the life of the prophet Elijah in 1 Kings 18. You know what he did? He confronted King Ahab, all of Israel, 450 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of the Asherah, all on Mount Carmel. One man. Took all them on. And what follows is one of the greatest victories ever to have occurred on this planet. The king is embarrassed and defeated. All Israel turns back to the Lord. And all 450 prophets of Baal are executed. What a victory. That's the declaration stage. And we would note it with one other character. This first D, or declaration stage, can be seen the Apostle Peter, wow. He cries out in Matthew 16:16, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. We took that up in Bible class this morning, talked about it a little. You're the Christ, the Son, out of all of them, Peter's the one that speaks up. And in Matthew 26 and verse 35, Peter says, even if I must die with you, I will not. Even if I got to die with you, I will not deny you. That's the declaration stage. And folks, what I want you to understand for you is that if you understood what happened when you come up out of that water, a new creation, and all of your sins were gone, that was your declaration stage. That was your new beginning, your fresh start, your sins fully forgiven, and you were full of faith and full of fire, ready to take on the world, ready to win, ready to steamroll Satan, and nothing was going to stop you from getting to heaven. That's the declaration stage. It's beautiful. It's powerful. But just like with all these great men of God who started out so strong, if I may quote the title of an old Phil Collins song, something happened on the way to heaven. Something happened. It's called sin, life, losses, loneliness. It's called time and chance, heartache, disappointment. Called fear, temptation. It's called unfairness and things not turning out the way you had always hoped or thought or planned that they would in your life. Enter the second stage, the second D of the three Ds. As a person's strength and confidence in God, quite often at some point, struggles mightily. We'll call it the desperation stage. Second D is the desperation stage, and we see that in those same four great men of God. This little boy David, who cried out in his declaration stage, and it was so powerful, and he got to this off to this awesome start with God. It was incredible. We know later on in his life he succumbed to the tempter's snare. He became an adulterous, murderous, merciless man of the world. When he realized, when he came face to face with the extent of his sin and what he had done with God, it broke him. David was a broken man. David was a broken, hollow, empty, desperate man who had lost his joy. Turn with me to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, David's desperation stage. You can almost hear David crying out to God. Psalm 51, verse 1, have mercy on me, O God. This is after his adultery with Bathsheba and getting her husband Uriah killed. It is believed to have been a psalm David wrote when Nathan went to him and confronted him with his sin. Verse 1, have mercy upon me, God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from... Have you ever been there? Maybe even after you started out so good for God. He says, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. He said, I know who I am. I know what I've done. And it's awful. He says, verse 4, against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Verse 7, purge me with hyssop. He's relying on God to clean him. He realizes, see, he's not saying he can do any of this. It's all up to God. God's got to clean him up. He's made such a mess of things. Purge me with hyssop and I'll be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness. He'd lost his joy. Have you ever been in the place in your Christianity after a great start, you just lost your joy? You disappointed God. You were becoming desperate. You cried out to God. You wondered about where things were going with your life and things had just messed up and become so awful. And that's where David is. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean... David knew his heart was filthy. Even after that great start, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Verse 12, restore to me the joy. Some of you in this room have been there. Second year desperation stage can also be seen in the life of John the Baptist. He'd so powerfully proclaimed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, and those sorts of things. And he continued to serve God. And then you know what happened? Because he continued to serve God and do the right thing, he got imprisoned for doing the right thing, for preaching the right thing. Like so many of us, when life doesn't work out quite the way we thought it would, when our Christianity, when our faith struggles, and when we've messed things up totally, John the Baptist begins to question. John the Baptist begins to wonder. Life hadn't gone exactly the way he thought it was supposed to go. And so in his desperation, we see in Matthew chapter 11 in verse 2 that he sends men to question Jesus about the very truth that he had once proclaimed himself. He's gone from, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, to, are you really the one, or do we look for somebody else? If we read 1 Kings 19, the same thing we see happened with the prophet Elijah, who had defied an entire nation, its king, 850 prophets. And he does the right thing. You know what he gets? You know what the Bible says about him? I believe he's the only character in the entire Bible. It says he ran for his life. After all of that, he ran for his life and he hid in a cave. And his life got so bad and he got so desperate in his desperation stage. After that beautiful declaration stage, he got so bad in 1 Kings 19 that he asked God to just take his life. That's how desperate he was after all that victory. Just take my life, God. I'm alone. And then finally, our fourth man, Peter. Peter had so powerfully and publicly declared that Jesus was the Son of God in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. But then he went on the night that Jesus probably needed him most to deny Jesus three times, once with a curse. And Jesus that night, as he's being tortured, when Peter denies him the third time, Jesus, through all of that confusion and melee and chaos and pain that's going on, looks right at Peter. Peter knew. And Peter, after being the only one of the disciples to actually walk on water a few steps and do all those wonderful things and see all of them, Peter, in his desperation stage, goes outside and weeps bitterly because he knows how he's messed up. Brethren, you ever disappointed God? Do you know what the desperation stage is all about? I would guess, being human, that all too many of us have. But here's the great news. Here's the part I couldn't hardly wait to get to. Christianity is not a 2D story. It's a 3D story. We have an awesome God. You see, the story doesn't end at the second D. For those who remain faithful to God and cling to God as strongly and as fervently during the desperation stage as they did at the declaration stage, for those who hang on to God through the tough, through the desperate, through the are you really the one, through the question stage, when the bottom falls out, as they did when they first got started, there is a third D, and brethren, I am here to tell you that is the deliverance or destination stage, and it is one awesome place to be with God Almighty. We see this with King David. King David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the scripture calls him. We see that he was delivered from his desperation by the grace and the love and the patience and the nurture and the forgiveness of Almighty God. And David went on to accomplish many great and wonderful and powerful things to the glory of Almighty God in the years to come. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 1 through 5. You see, after all that tragedy, still came triumph. David eventually experienced God's great renewal and deliverance and full forgiveness, dying as the man after God's own heart, Acts 2, 22 through 35 and Acts 13, 22. The scriptures do not tell us if those messengers that John the Baptist sent to Jesus in Matthew 11 ever got back to deliver what they had seen and heard to him. But I personally find it almost impossible to believe that this forerunner of the Christ, this Elijah who was to come, this one of whom Jesus spoke so glowingly in Matthew chapter 11, verses 7 through 15, I find it impossible to believe that he was not delivered into paradise and to be with his God eternally. This third D, this deliverance or destination stage, can be seen in the life of Elijah as well. Turn back there with me, would you please? Turn back there with me to 1 Kings 19 for a moment. I want to show you this deliverance. 1 Kings chapter 19. And we'll start with the desperation. I know we've moved away from number two, but we'll start there. If you go with me to chapter 19, 1 Kings, verses 13 and 14. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah? Aren't you grateful for God's patience?" God didn't reprimand him. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" I love the patience of my God. I need his patience. He's trying to get Elijah to understand, you don't need to be here, Elijah. You're still fine with me. "What are you doing here?" Elijah said in verse 14, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left. They seek to take my life." You ever felt alone? You're so discouraged. You've done the right thing. All these men did the right thing. Well, David didn't. I'm sorry. John the Baptist did, and Elijah did. They did the right thing. David and Peter, we'll maybe talk about some other time, but he'd done the right thing. The bottom fell out. He had to run for his life. And now here he is. He's saying, "I'm all alone. I alone am left. It's just me, God. Am I the only one? And you can read in your own Bibles, verses 15 through 18, but I'm going to break it down for us in our language. Paraphrase, if I may, verses 15 through 18, the third D, the deliverance stage. And I want you to take this to heart. God basically says in verses 15 through 18, look, Elijah, despite what you've been through, I am still in control. Isn't that awesome? Despite what you've been through, Elijah, I am still in control. I've still got a plan, and it still includes you. Isn't that wonderful news? If you've ever been through the desperation stage, isn't that beautiful news? I'm still in control, I still got a plan, and it still includes you. And most of all, the message there is, do not lose heart. You are absolutely not alone, and you are certainly never anywhere near as alone as you sometimes are tempted to think you are when you're looking at it through your eyes and not mine. That's God's message to Elijah, and that's God's message to any of us who may be in our desperation stage. You are never as alone as you think you are when you're looking at it through your eyes as opposed to God's. Like God is just Elijah. And so what happens? This is that deliverance or destination stage. Elijah gets up, and through the next number of years, he goes on to enjoy many a successful service for God after his deliverance by God wound up, or before his deliverance by God wound up at his eventual destination with God. If we were to turn, and you can turn over in your own Bible and look there, I'm not going to read it all because of time, but in 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, 2 Kings 2, 1 through 11, details the events of God taking Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind. God takes Elijah to his eternal deliverance and destination. The cave is behind him. The aloneness is behind him because he trusted and obeyed God even in the midst of his desperation as ever. And of course, we know what happened with Peter. Afterwards, after his desperation, going outside to weep bitterly, we know that he was forgiven by God and he had many things to go on to do. John chapter 20, he opens up the church. Acts chapter 1 through chapter 12, he goes on to do many great and wonderful things for the Lord. He is delivered. And then he goes on to his eternal destination, Revelation 18:20, with the apostles in heaven. Where are you this morning? And don't just grab your songbooks when you hear that. We do that in the church. You know, as soon as we hear the words this morning, we grab our songbooks. Don't grab your songbooks. Listen. Where are you this morning? Maybe you're somebody who was just recently converted and you're in that declaration stage and things are awesome and good for you and praise God. Don't worry. Desperation's coming. You're going to need your brothers and sisters. I'm just saying. Is that right, church? Amen. If you have never made that declaration and you've never become a member of the Lord's church or kingdom, you need to do so the way God said, by repenting of your sins and being baptized for the forgiveness of those sins. And you could do that this morning, and there's no better time than this morning. Amen, church? But maybe you've done that. Maybe you've had that declaration stage. But life and choices and sin and circumstances and temptation and things not happening the way you thought they would, the bottom's dropped out of your life and you're desperate. God is still there in your cave. And God wants you to know that. And if you need the prayers of your brethren that you might more fully realize that, or you just need somebody to help you to understand you're not alone in your struggle, the church stands ready to do that. Maybe you've gone through both of those stages. and you're in your deliverance stage. You've been through some horrible, awful, terrible thing, and God has brought you through it because you clung to Him as hard and as strongly through the desperation as you did the very first, the declaration stage. And maybe you're in that deliverance stage, and you just know God's carried you through this thing, and life is awesome because He has. Listen, there's other people that need to know that because they need to be encouraged because they're still in the stage behind you. Maybe you need to go share that with some of your brethren today. Whatever your need is of those three things, and wherever you are amongst those three D's, please, if you have a need, we're going to sing a song, step out of the aisle and come down front. It's not that hard. Preachers do it every morning, Sunday morning. We'd love to help you move to a better place in your Christianity in 3D as we stand and sing.